Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. So we want to welcome you to our Friday morning edition as we close out the end of this week in dealing with this subject, continue dealing with the subject on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we are subtitling it for the last couple of weeks for in dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, the purpose of giving it the subtitle for the gifts of the Spirit is so that you can identify now that there are just more than just speaking in tongues. As when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we also talk about part of the gifts of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And these fruits are with us. They help develop character and integrity in the things that we already have in our born-again spirit, but it helps us to establish it in our heart, in our understanding. But then we also have, again, these gifts that God has made unto the church in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. And we know that these gifts are special gifts that only the Spirit Himself can allow to function as He will. But then we see there are other gifts, as in Ephesians chapter 4, and I think verses 9 through 11, or you can go to verse 16, is, you know, including what their purposes are, and talking about how Jesus has given some apostles or prophets. I mean, yeah, prophets and some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. And we know that these gifts are for the perfecting of the saint, the work of the ministry. And and then we see that there are other gifts in Romans chapter 12. And I think I made mention of these here. And one of these gifts are, you know, to exhort, you know, and one of these gifts are for those that teaches led him. And then, you know, let me just read them to you once again, because it may be my last day in covering this. But in verse 6, it says of Romans chapter 12, having the gifts differing, see, according to the grace that is given to us. See, the gift that is given to us according to the grace that is given to us. So I mean, according to the grace that God Himself that will imply to all of us, you know, to whatever His purpose is for our lives. And this is the reason why some of us are more fluently in things that we do for the grace of God than others. Because why? We're learning to understand that it's not what I do to move God. It's not anything I can do to move God. If grace had made the provision for it, then it won't be done. Faith is the only appropriation that will partake of that which grace hath made. And so, as he said, it happened then. Gift different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, see, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. See, that's another gift. Amen. But you're prophesying according to what? To the proportion of your faith, meaning according to the revelation knowledge of the truths you have embraced. Amen. Number two here is another one here. And he said, our ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. See, you know, whatever that may be, that could be serving, you know, a part of ministry help. It could also be teaching. It could also be, again, it's a big part of serving, ministry, or he that meant to let us wait on our ministry. You could be called as an armor bearer. You could be called as one, a children director. I'm talking about in ministry itself, or it can be outside of the fivefold, outside of the church walls. Then another thing he said here are he that teaches on teaching. Yet, you know, one that teaches, you know, like myself, you know, we're always looking for various Bibles or various books or whatnot to do what? To gain an understanding of these truths so that we can do what? Teach it with an understanding so that all that is listening under the tone of my voice can get it. Or notice this, or he that exalt on exaltation. So that's another gift. Someone that just exalt the body. Amen. And he that give it, let him give, do it with simplicity. So that's another gift. On giving. That means God just put in that person. That's all they know. They just love to give. And they find a way to give, to help, to do whatever is necessary whenever it's needed. Now, again, these are not gifts that man give to us. This is the grace. If we go back up here, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So that grace is given to each one of these things that I mentioned. And the last one here that he mentions here, the Apostle Paul mentions here, when he said, that giver, let him do it with simplicity. He that rule it with diligence. He that show it mercy with mercy. See, there's another grace, being merciful. That some other people, you would go the extra mile and being so merciful with someone that just, you know, I mean, just outright ruthless, outright just hateful. But you will see beyond the action of that individual and you begin to just have, you know, cry out for mercy for that individual. Why? Because you're not seeing them with just the natural physical eye. You're not seeing them in the through the action of what they done. You are seeing them through the finished works of Christ. And all of us should be very merciful to one another. Why? Because God's mercy to you and I as an individual is new every day. It's not a mercy that's stored up. It's a new mercy. And so when we learn to be more merciful, but again, these are other gifts. And then, you know, as we look in 1 Corinthians 14 again, we see that there are other gifts that talk about government, just people who are on church boards, people who help to organize a ministry. Then there are what they call helps ministry. That's another subject under the heading of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is ministry of helps. And so ministry of help, to be honest with you, I think it's one of the most vital parts of a ministry. Why? Because a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, whatever they're called to, you know, they're called to teach the word of God. They're called to study the word of God. They're called to put the word of God out. But there are parts of that calling that very few people will ever notice. That leader have need of help because he or she always know they cannot do this on their own. They have to have someone to help them to facilitate what God has put in their heart. And that's why these grace, as I mentioned in verse 6 again, he said, having then gift differing from a different according to the grace that is given to us. So this grace is not something given by a man. This grace is something given by God himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the reason why in ministry of help, people will serve. People will become a pastor's armor bearer. People will become, have the idea the way as they walk in the church, they see that the church needs to be kept up. They don't like to see the, you know, crumbs on the ground. They don't like to see chairs out of order. They don't like to see dust sitting nowhere. I mean, you know, we're all clean, but this person has a knack. It's in them. And so when it's in them, see, that's a grace God put in them. But that, you know, the person that teaching is no different from the one that cleans the church. It's the grace that God has placed within us through the power of the Holy Ghost to do what? So that his objective, his plan cannot be hindered on no level. So all of this, looking at thinking, well, I'm an apostle and like that has some big yippee to do that. No. None of these gifts are something that we chose or something that we could give to ourselves. These gifts come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these gifts that I've been speaking to you about for the last month or so about the power, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. None of it belongs to us, but yet it has been, they offer us to do what? To implement these things by the word of the Lord so that everyone can be blessed. But the ministry of health, when we talk about health ministry, that's what the scripture talked about. It called health ministry. That health ministry, again, you know, how important it is to have clean bathrooms when someone walk in a public place. How important it is to have a clean parking lot, grass cut. You know, people look at, so there's people in God put around us to do what? To do those things for us or whatnot. Why? Because it's a part of his plan. Now, these are things that most people never pay attention to when they go to church. It's just, you know, the main focus is what? Either on the praise and worship and the teaching of the word. That's it. They never thinks about, no one never compliment the person who cleans the church or say, wow, the church smells so good. Look how these chairs, you know, someone must clean these chairs often. Look how organized they are. And except many people don't put much emphasis upon that. They don't put emphasis upon whether the grass is cut. You know, the grass have to really look bad, or the parking lot have to really look bad to say, man, they need to cut their grass around here. But by that time you notice it, it's way out of whack. But God loved everything to be decent and in order. But that decent and order, again, it's the grace that God put inside of us. So when you understand what the gifting that God has called you to, what he has anointed you for, don't put your gift or put yourself in place of being in comparison to someone else. Because guess what? Whatever gift God placed within you is just as important as the individual that may teach us, one that may prophesy, one that may be a giver, one that may be very merciful. All of us can function in each of these gifting, but there is an anointing that you know that's your call. And no one has to call you and say, well, you know, we need the church to be cleaned up today. Could you come? No. When they just see dirt, or they making their way to do what? Find time to do what? On their own time. Well, what possess a person to do that? Again, I take you to verse 6. It says, well, verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Well, just like this body of mine. Well, my mouth is doing the speaking, but, you know, I need my body, my neck, my head to be attached to this body to speak, right? There are parts that you don't see. My immune system, my breathing apparatus, you know, inhale and exhale, and my heart. I need all of that blood flow. I need all of that so that I can be alive to actually speak. But how often do we look and say, you know, about, you know, that person is breathing good or this and that? No, we focus on the words that's come, and rightly you should, but I'm just bringing some of these things to our attention that we overlook, that we don't give much, you know, glory to, or much glamorous to. Why? Because you just think it's automatic. But nothing is just automatic. Everything has its worth, and God's hand is behind it all, putting it all in motion. And that's the reason why I'm saying this, because I know what it's like to be overlooked. I know what it's like to be thinking that, you know, what one has is more important than the other. And I'm just telling you right here, in these verses of scripture right here in Romans chapter 12, and again at verse 4, he says, "For as one has many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Just think about your physical body. But guess what? Each part of your body is important as a whole. I may not need my mouth to do what my hand needs to do, but my mouth is there to help assist if I need to say something, or if I need to grab hold of something. I do it by saying, I need my legs. I may be at a workplace or whatnot, but if something is 10 feet away from me, I need my legs. I need my feet. To do what? To move towards that area to get what I need. So you see, my body have many members. It's one body, but each part of this body have different function. That's what makes it whole. Well, it's the same about you and I in the body of Christ. Now listen to this, what I'm about to say to you. Even though we are one body, as the scripture says, but we are many members. We are the body of Christ. But the members, all of us have our part. Notice what the scripture says right here. Paul is trying to use a natural analogy or parable in trying to get us to connect to spiritual truth. This natural parable that we're speaking about, it is real, but it's showing you in the natural how these things function and work this body, and how this body, this one body of mine that has many members, and I need my legs, I need my feet, I need my eyes, I need my ears, I need all of that to do what? To function in this physical world. To get from plan A to B. Well, it's the same in the spirit. But in order for us to do that in the spirit, we have to recognize that I'm one part of the body. See, I may be the eyes of the body of Christ, or I may be a hand for the body of Christ, or I may be a feet for the body of Christ. Just recognize you can't go nowhere without your feet. Per se speaking, right? Notice this. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That's the same thing about the body of Christ. We don't all have the same calling. We are many members, but we are one body. My point here is, if someone who loved to clean up, keep the bathroom clean, which is a very important job, keep the building clean, keep classrooms clean, and etc., one that's have administrator that keep paperwork in order, keep things in stock so that we could always having more than enough to do what we're called to do. Most time people don't ever think about that, but a person that is administrator, they're always thinking, they're always looking, they're always purchasing, they're always thinking that on their mind. Why? Because that's what God put in them. That pastor or that teacher or even that businessman or businesswoman have need of that person, because why? That person is going to keep everything, all the paperwork and whatnot, the things that's needed to keep everything flowing. They're gonna make sure it's there. And they're going to move, they're going to almost move heaven and earth to make sure. Why? Because to them, that is the most, that's important. That's their call. You don't have to talk to them about that. You don't have to remind them. No, they're going to remind you. See, that's the passion. Well, that didn't come just naturally. That came by the grace. Again, I know I keep reading that verse, but, you know, verse 5. So we being many members are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. You see that? So we being many members are one body in Christ, and every one member of another, having then gift different according to the grace that is given to us. I mean, just think about it. You know, I'm a teacher, okay, amongst a few other things that I do. But right now, to you or whatnot, I'm serving as a teacher. Well, I'm always listening to material, always listening to things, always picking up books to do what? To learn the definition of words, to look at them in a different perspective, to allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten me. He's always talking to me in a way of doing what? Explaining, revealing. You see, why? That's the grace that he has placed upon me, and therefore I'm able to see things. I'm able to remind myself, remember scripture, or have scripture to go with the content of what I'm teaching them. It's not me doing that. It's that I've just been graced, and he put that grace in my life that I can come on 5-6 times a week, even if it means 7 times a week. You know, I teach on an average of 7 times a week, 7-8 times a week, you know. But I don't do that in myself. I do that because of his grace that he has gifted me to do that. Just think about your life, those of you who listen to me. Just think about the things that you do on a regular basis. I don't care if you're just employed by a company. If you're responsible for something in that company or whatnot, you're going to remind the person that's above you, the authority that's over you, or whatever. You're going to remind them that we're running low on this. We need more of this. We can't function. What if if we run out of this? I mean, you become adamant about it. Why? Because that's in you. That's that grace upon you. Even in if these same gifts, it works together in a home. What I'm trying to show you this morning, and I don't know if I'm making sense to you or not, but what I'm trying to show you that no one just does what they do because it's them. No, you do what you do because even the lost person, they do get the graces that is in their life. They just not been awakened to all that God has placed in them and why those gifts are in there. The devil is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy so that your purpose would never be awakened to the thing that God purposed in your heart. And when we are awakened to what God has purposed for us in our heart, then all of a sudden, things in your life begins to prosper. It begins to increase. Your health begins to increase. Your marriage or relationship begins to increase. Your finances begins to increase. Everything little by little begins to start increasing. Why? Because you're functioning in the grace that he has placed within you. And when you stay in that lane and begin to function in these graces, in these gifts, then I'm telling you, you don't have to look for the approval of a man. Your approval is already of God, and you are standing in the gap, walking in that truth until Jesus returns. And this is so vital. I can't tell you how vital this is. When you learn to stay in your lane and run the race that God has placed within you, that's what the power of the Holy Spirit is there. That's why we pray in other tongues. to ourselves a lot. Why? Because it helped us to redirect, refocus. It helped strengthen us to maintain wherever we are and what we're doing. A lot of times there's no outward support. There's no outward help. There's nothing in the natural to encourage us. But when we take time and pray in other tongues, what is it doing? It's building you up. It's strengthening you. It's edifying you to do what? It's reminding to edify. It's reminding you of the plan that God has given to you. Now, I'm going to not stay long with you, but I'm going to go to Matthew. And I want to show you that how Jesus has gifted the gift that he put in us. And then how sometimes we don't like what we have been given, and we decide that either we will take what God given us and begin to use it, or we take it and hide it, or we just put it aside and make it look like, well, it's not important. And so if you look with me here in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let's start here at verse 14. Matthew chapter 25. And look with me here in verse 14. And you know, look at this. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." I mean, all of us have been called by God. You don't have to be behind the pulpit. You know, we are the minority that does that. The majority of the people is out there in the workforces, in society. You're the one, including myself, I'm out there too, making a difference. Okay? But here is the real, is the true test of discipleship, of you and I truly being out there carrying out what he has given unto us. Notice the first thing it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is," and this is speaking, Jesus speaking in a parable way. He said, "Here, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country," and that would be Jesus himself going back to the Father. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, looking to see, are we going to carry out what he has placed within us? The gift that he's placed with, what are we doing with it? You know, one of the most important ministry help, you know, it's not the most important, but one that really touches people's lives and get them to prepare to hear the word is music. It's praise and worship. And the devil now knows that how important worship is in the body of Christ. Why? Because praise and worship, music takes your mind off. It gets your, first of all, it gets your mouth moving to start singing the song, singing along with song. We love music. Why? God put in us to enjoy music. But the devil also has come along and perverted music also to do what? To put us in a certain way. That's why you have so many different type of music that's out there, and people are engaged in it. Why? Satan wants anything that's damaging to your own life, to others. There's music out there like that. There's music out there that's perverted, that's provocative. And what make it perverted? It's the words that come forth from the song. And God knows. See, Satan knows that. So guess what? God honors to be praised. The Bible talks about us praising God. It speaks about us with lifted up hand. It speaks of us lifting our voice to praise him. And so now I discover. And it was not always like this. I've discovered now that in most churches or whatnot, in order for you to have praise and worship, it's almost like you have to pay these people to come in and do praise and worship, when as it is a ministry gift. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, it is one of the gifts of the Spirit, whereas we call it ministry of health. And now, today, no one wants to serve the Lord with their voice and singing as unto the Lord unless they're getting paid. I'm just saying. I mean, look, it's just like saying, well, I'm not going to take an obligation to come speak for no one unless you're going to pay me. No. Whether I get paid or not, it's not on that individual. My gift is not from, it's not something I picked up on my own. It's something God gave to me. And notice it, I have to look to the Lord to do what? To be the one who will take care of me. Yes, he have to use people, but I'm not going to put a burden on someone to say, you need to pay me for this. Yes, a person is worthy of his gift and etc. But notice this, it's not that I'm putting a burden on someone else. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. The Lord will see to it that whatever I am needed to be compensated of, I'm going to be compensated. Why? Because it is he who have made the provision for us to increase. He know I have to have money in order to pay my bills and to do this and to do that. But if I put all of my focus, all my energy on trying to get money, then I'm going to lose out on the thing that he called me, and the people who's listening to me will not be able to grow in the truth or grow in the grace and do it by faith. Why? Because I'm always focused upon trying to get money. And like I said, please understand me, I always need money. When anybody in ministry, they'll tell you always needing money. Why? Because money is what help us to add on, to increase. Okay. But again, you know, in praise and worship, besides teaching the word, is one of the most powerful aspect of the word penetrating in a person's heart. People need to hear the word, but then again, people need to have praise and worship. What's the purpose of praise and worship? That praise and worship, it again, people come under so much burden. They are loaded down with so many different things. And when they begin to open their mouth and sing along with the worship leader, then guess what it does? It takes their mind off of that. And now their hearts are open to receive the word of God without any restriction. But again, because when I first come into the body of Christ over 43 years ago, the ministry of praise and worship was a ministry gift. It was a gift of ministry health. That means you volunteer your voice. You volunteer what God has given you. People, you didn't just learn how to sing. You know, God already gifted you to sing. God gifted people to play musical instrument. Now, you can learn, but again, there are people who are musical inclined because God created you in that light, and you are able to just pick up on whatever instrument you're able to sing and hold a good tune and worship. Why? Because God anointed you with it. Now, I believe as time goes on, as a ministry grows, if you grow with that ministry, then that ministry is going to be in a position to do what? To take you out from probably your physical natural job or circular job and employ you in the ministry itself to do what? To hold. Why? Because God has anointed that ministry and put it in a place to where it is on a level that where it is always having activity going on. And so you can't keep a natural job and continue to walk in the vision that God has placed within that leader. Because the vision now is increasing and it is demanding more from you. So it has to have the support staff those in praise and worship, those who are ushering, those who are in media ministry. A lot of time, as a ministry increases, you have to bring those people from the outside world and bring them into the ministry and let that be their primary focus to stay connected. Why? Because what God has put on that ministry, on that man, that woman, then guess what? Everyone that under that ministry, they begin to prosper. They begin to increase. Not because of the individual, but because it's the will of God. But now, again, you can't even really get a praise with someone that is anointed to sing, that is anointed to play music without wanting and without them being paid. If they're not being paid, when I first heard that, I started laughing. I said, no, that's not so. But I don't pay attention to a lot of things that's out there either. But then I realized, I found out, it's absolutely true. Now, I'm not saying that's everyone, but for the majority in, you know, our church don't really have a praise and worship leader. I desire to have one, but it's like to pay someone to sing? No. If our ministry grows, as it increases, or whatever, the man that God puts upon, then guess what? I need a worship leader with me all the time. And so I know that worship leader has to be taken care of, because now it's not just a ministry gift now. It is still a ministry gift, but then this person has to be taken care of. So it is my responsibility to see that individual that they are taken care of, so that their family don't go without, you know, just serving the Lord. And I think it's wrong, too. There are ministers that can take care of these people that are worship leaders, and they don't take care of them. So that is just as wrong also. It appeared that I'm talking about ministry health. Well, that's a gift that God given me to teach on ministry of health. You know, I don't teach on it a lot lately, but this is part of, as I close out and dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is the gifts of the Spirit here. One of the gifts of the Spirit, again, is helps ministry. And again, and I think the enemy knows that if we don't have worship in our services or whatnot, then it's hard for people to really connect and get the word. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because praise and worship connects people. It opens them up. And now, for whatever reason, I think those who have been called to sing, that anointed of God to sing, I think they recognize it. But now, again, it's all about, can I, you know, who will pay for my service? Now, I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. Now, I know people probably would, you know, question me on that and whatnot. I mean, you can. Yes, you're right. But I'm not saying that God would never compensate you. Like I said, you're only doing what God has graced you to do. It is God that put these grace in us to do these things. When you look to the Lord and keep what you're doing as to the Lord, then guess what? Then the Lord will move on people's heart, that individual heart, to do what? To see to it that you are compensated when it need to be. But for me to go out and say again, well, I can't go nowhere and preach unless, you know, it's going to take me, you know, it's going to take at least $2,000 for me to really get there and to, you know, take care of why I'm there, the things I'm going to need, and this and that. No, I don't make no demand like that. Again, these things are not wrong in themselves, but what I'm saying, we're putting, it's like I'm not going to be available unless there's money involved. I don't ever want to do that. I want to be to the place of where, as if someone will have me to speak or whatever, I'm not going there because of what you're going to pay me. I didn't receive the request because I can be compensated. No, I received the request because of the mandate, the anointing, the teaching, the calling that God put in my heart. whether I get a dime or not, that's not important. You understand what I mean by that's not important? It's not important whether that ministry or that person compensate us or give anything. No. What's important is that I go and do what the Lord has called me to do. That's to teach the word of God. My calling is what? It's changing and restoring the lives of people by grace through faith with the word of God. That's my mission. It's to pull down tradition. It's to uproot stronghold. It's to throw out old fables and accept, and then begin to plant and build in people's lives the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether I know I'm going to be compensated. I know I can't do it without God compensating me. So notice what I say, without God compensating, not the people. I'm not looking to the only thing I'm looking to the people to do is to receive the word of God. And if I could get people by the Holy Ghost to receive the word of God, then I've done my job. And now I look to him who is my provider, because he's the one. He said, I notice this. He told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And so what he done? He gave Abraham a vision and sent him to move forward. So what was God doing? He's letting you know Abraham is the father of our faith. He's letting him know it is up to me to see to it that everything you have need of, I will be your provider. Well, Jesus, to say, you know, did the same thing. When he was here on the earth, he didn't look to himself to make the provision. He looked to his father. He took a two-piece fish dinner. And he fed 5,000 people, not including women and children. What did Jesus do? He didn't say, look, Father, you got all these people following me. I'm teaching the word of God. How in the world I'm going to, how would that look? He was not sent on his own. He was sent by the Father himself. That means the Father is making sure that whatever provision is needed for him to be fruitful, for him to multiply, for him to be success, it is in the Father himself that would do the work. It's still the same way today, saints. It's the Holy Ghost inside of us reminding us that what Jesus did in the earth, what the Father's original intent was, is still functional today. And so as I close with this, again, notice this in the 25th chapter in the 14th verse of Matthew. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, and he called his own servants and he delivered them his goods. Remember, he called them and he delivered them his goods. So if he called them and delivered them his good, then there's no comparison. There's no fight. And notice this. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. And notice it, he gave accordingly to severally ability, and straightway he took his journey. And then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 others, and the other likewise with 2 did the same. And notice it, but the one that had received the 1 talent dig into the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. And notice this, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And notice this, and we said, for time's sake, most of you know the story, you can read it, the rest of it. You know, the one with the 5 gained 5 others. The one with the 2 gained 2 more. The one with the 1 took his and hid. Remember, God is the one that gave these grace, gave this ability to you as your ability, gave you these gifting according to your ability, how he made you. But notice the same thing. The same thing that God said to the 5, because you've been faithful over the 5, enter into the joy of the Lord. The same thing went with the 2 who gained 2 other. He said, enter in. Notice he said the same thing to the one with the 5. the same that he said with the one with the two. But the one with the one did what? He took and hid it because he thought it was not, you know, I looked at you as a hard man, shrewd man, but he took it and hid his talent because it didn't look like it had much. What I'm saying to you as I close with this saying, I may only have one gift, one talent, but this parable is here for our learning. I'm not going to take and say, well, Lord, ain't nobody want to hear me. Ain't nobody want, you know, it's easy to say, get on Facebook like this. Because it, you know, I have the strength now, because I've been doing it for a while, to come on here like I do every day. But it'd be just like, Lord, ain't nobody going to listen to me. Nobody hearing this. Why you want me to go on here 4 or 5 times a week and teach like this? It doesn't make a difference who's on or not. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And then those people, like those of you that's on right now, you know, I don't know, God put something in you and said, I need you to listen to this. This is the answer to your prayer. This is going to help you down the road. Well, it's not me doing it, but he's using my vocal cord to do what? To allow the Spirit of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to do what? To speak through my vocal cord to help edify you, to exhort you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to do what? To be all that God made you to be. And I think any leader, I don't care who they are, all of us have the same message of doing what? To edify you, to exhort you, to comfort you in the thing that Christ have already done on your behalf. And so as I leave you with this or whatnot, again, I'm not trying to shoot no one down. I'm just using this in a manner to say, rethink your stand. Rethink what God has placed in you. Because if he calls you into being a minister of music, you better know that he will take care of you. You can't look to the church or look to that individual. You have to know that it's God. And God put something in you to do what? To distribute. And when you take it and use what God has put before you, then God himself will cause it to increase. But if you look into a man to make it increase, or you put in a burden on a man to say, I can't do this without this or whatnot, then you miss God. You miss God. And so I'm just saying this to you that I love praise and worship, but at the same time, I'm trusting God for that right ones that he will send. They don't have to be perfect, but they have a heart for God, and they want to use their vocal cords for God, to worship God because of what he did for them. And they got to tell somebody. And when you have that heart like that, then the Lord will move, because he is the provider. He will move on that leader or whoever in that congregation or whatever. He has so many ways of moving to make sure that you are compensated. But you know that it didn't come. You didn't do it because I'm trying to get a paycheck. I didn't do it because of this or that. No. No. I did it because Jesus redeemed my life from the pit of hell. Jesus paid a price that I could never pay. And I'm willing to, just like me teaching the word, I'm willing to, if I don't ever get compensation for what I do, I will do this all the remaining days of my life, and I'll do it with joy. Why? Because I got something that money could never take the place of. Do I need money? Yes, because we live in a physical world. But again, trust me, God will see to it that you are provided for. Because why? You're making a step of faith, and you're doing it because he's leading you, and you're not doing it because you're looking for a compensation to be paid. That's the difference. Amen. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. Today is offering day. We do give you an opportunity to give into this teaching ministry that God has given unto me. And all the proceeds, it will go to the Favorite Church to help us to continue to do what God has given us at the Favorite Church. And if that's you, if you love to partner, what is you love to sow into an anointing, that's what you're doing. And then as you take time and sow, then guess what? You begin to reap a harvest of your sowing. And so if that's you, you know, the amount which you should give, that's between you and the Lord. But you can do it by Cash App, and we will appreciate whatever it is that God will put in your heart to give. You don't have anything to give, that's okay. You're giving your time, you're listening to the word. And like I say to me, that means everything just to have somebody who wants to hear. And I'm happy with that. Amen. So until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again next week, God willing. Have a great week, a great weekend. Amen. And we'll be with you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.